You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Welcome back to the Greater Greener Georgia podcast, where we are now in the 2026 Georgia legislative session. We are here with a legislative director, Connie DeSico. Connie, let's just jump right into it. I know you're busy. We are here at the Capitol today. Let's talk about legislative session. So for the people who haven't been following the 2026 legislative session closely, what are the biggest energy and environmental issues lawmakers are debating right now in Georgia?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's always great to sit down. Just great to sit down, but also great to sit down and talk with you. So, and all of our viewers and listeners. The big issues, the environmental issues, are, of course, data centers. We've also heard a lot of discussion about PFAS and some solar debate as well. I think data centers have really pulled the focus this legislative session and been that big focal point for a lot of the session. And we've had 12 bills proposed on data centers. Those have been bipartisan bills, meaning they've been proposed on both sides of the aisle. So those have been ranging from full-on moratoriums to repealing or even sunsetting the data center tax incentives, and also bills that have been asking for ratepayer protections so that the energy burden from data centers don't go on to the shoulders of average Georgians and ratepayers. So there's been a whole range of bills that have been proposed this session. There's been also a lot of transparency bills, and those have been related to data centers as well as PFAS. And when we talk about environmental bills, those are important starting points for bills, because once we start bringing things to light, the transparency, it's a great way for us to see what we're actually using. In the case of PFAS, it's what's going into the water stream. And then from there, we can use that, as I said, as a starting point for regulation. Also in the case of data centers, it's how much energy, how much water are we talking about? And those are the building blocks for the other pieces of legislation that we can then get our arms around and start building those regulatory pieces to that puzzle.
So since you brought it up, data centers, let's back up a little bit. And for the listeners that don't know, what are data centers and why are we hearing so much about them here in Georgia now?
It's a great question. Data centers are massive warehouses. And a good thing to think about would be like one of those storage facilities, but these are millions of square feet of warehouse. And they're windowless buildings. And like a storage facility where you might put your furniture, they don't have any, there's no workers. So you can go inside and you won't run into another human being usually. An analogy that I'll give is like a Mission Impossible movie where you'll go into a facility, a top secret facility maybe, and there will be row after row after row of computer servers. And they're one on top of another, just row, 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 like you might see in a library. But it's floor after floor after floor of millions of square feet of computer servers. And these are for companies like Amazon, Meta, Anthropic, Netflix even. Think about all these cloud-based computing companies. That's what these servers are for. And we use them for all kinds of things that are necessary to daily life. We've all become dependent on this, but it's also for things like medical improvements too. I mean, my dentist found a cavity and used AI to find the cavity, which, you know, that wasn't thrilled about, but these are the improvements and the progressions that we're seeing, and data centers are a part of all of this. So that's the fundamental of a data center. They use tremendous amounts of water, though, to keep those servers that are one on top of the other cool. Because if you've ever put a laptop on your lap, that generates a lot of heat. And if you can imagine thousands upon thousands of those servers in one place, that's a lot of heat. And in the same way, they're using a lot of energy because they're powering all those devices as well. So that, in a nutshell, is a data center.
And so these data centers are popping up all around Georgia. We recently did a kind of a map showing where data centers currently are and where they will be built in the next 5 years. And it seems like Georgia has a lot of them. Compared to other states that you're aware of, does Georgia have a lot of them?
So Georgia is now second in data center growth, and Virginia was really the epicenter. And historically, we can see the reasons why for this. And part of this is because Virginia has the CIA, the FBI. They have a lot of security reasons for why their growth was so, why the data center growth was instrumental to the industries and why fiber optics became so integral to the data centers being there and why that was sort of ground zero for data centers. It also has to do with their placement along the coast and how the fiber optics can go underseas. Georgia also has a great coastline, but part of our data center growth is related to 1996 and the Olympics and how we had Ted Turner here and his foresight in wanting to be able to televise and project the Olympics. And that is a lot of how we got to be fundamental to the data centers coming here because we built such a strong network. So we are now, we also have, in the same way that we became the next Hollywood and became such a film center here, those same things that brought Hollywood and films here also brought data centers here. We have great resources. We have a great landscape. We have a tremendous also amount of land, and we have tax incentives. So those things make a terrific combination for industries like data centers. And you're incentivizing corporations like that to come here.
So some lawmakers and advocates have been talking about data center loopholes. What does that mean, and how can this affect our utility bills and what we pay?
It's a very good question. And this goes back to in December when Georgia Power came to the Public Service Commission and asked for an additional 10,000 megawatts for a projected build out that is mostly for the data centers. This is in addition to 4,000 megawatts that was asked for in the previous year. So what we're looking at is an additional build out of 14,000 megawatts. That is doubling our current capacity in 5 years. That's unprecedented. It's also unrealistic. That's a lot of energy that is projected pretty much just for this data center growth. which may or may not come. Two bills were proposed and have been put forth, and both of them have crossed over, which means they were voted on in either chamber and have now have the potential to be passed. One of them is HB 1063. That's a House bill. And that basically codifies a PSC ruling. The issue, and this is the loophole, is it only covers part of the contracts that Georgia Power would be entering into for data centers and doesn't cover speculative build-out. So if not all of these data centers come, if they go bankrupt, if some of these contracts go unfulfilled, Georgia ratepayers are still on the hook for that build out. And those are the loopholes. There's another bill, SB 410, which was originally a tax incentive bill. And it was to no longer give out any new tax incentives for data centers. It would keep existing ones in place until 2031. So we'd still be giving out money, we just wouldn't be giving out new money. So in that one, the similar language from the previous bill was added on to that, but it was added on to it in the form of SB 34. SB 34 started out as a good bill, and this was full ratepayer protections. And when we talk about ratepayer protections, it covered all of those build outs. It covered that speculative piece that I'm talking about. What happened to SB 34, which often happens to bills, is they can get changed. And that good piece of it was gutted and taken out. So the integrity of SB 34 was removed to match that HB 1063. And it only covers the speculative piece. It basically backs up that PSC ruling that I talked about. So we have two very similar bills that have been proposed. One includes some tax incentive sunsets, and the other one just includes this speculative piece. But when we are talking about closing loopholes, that's the great big hole, donut, that we're talking about is, what if these data centers don't come? What if the projections are wrong? There's a very real possibility of not only an AI boom, but just that this projection is incorrect. We've already seen math that doesn't math. When we first came out with tax incentives and said, hey, we're giving out $474 million a year in these data center tax incentives, that number had to be amended because it was so incorrect. It was incorrect by 600%. We are actually giving out $2.5 billion in tax incentives to data centers. So we've been wrong before, and that's what we're saying is there needs to be integrity to this. And there's nothing wrong with putting, as we say, belt and suspenders on this. The people who have proposed these bills, SB 410, the author of that bill said, the intent of this bill is to give ratepayers protections. But intent is not law. And if that is your intent, you should write that into the law. Because if my intention is to stop at the stop sign, but I get pulled over, I'm still going to get a ticket. My intent does not count. It doesn't hold up in a court of law. So it doesn't hold up when I tell Georgia Power, my intent was to pay my bill. The only thing that counts is actual legislation. And that's the loophole. That's what we're talking about. We want those loopholes to be filled.
So this is a bit of a leading question. Okay. What if there were, like, I don't know, a council that could protect these people and speak on behalf of them. For the viewers who don't know, what I'm getting at is there was another piece of legislation that was introduced, SB 94. Is that correct? SB 94, can you explain to us what the Consumer Utility Council is and would provide, and a little bit of background about it?
The Consumer Utility Council is a legal advocate for Georgian ratepayers, for small businesses. And this is a lawyer, essentially, to stand up for and represent those entities when there are questions and when they need a legal advocate. So when there are IRPs, when there are questions about these, when Georgians need someone to represent them, in the same way that corporations like Georgia Power have lobbyists and legal counsel to represent them before the PSC in cases, that's what Georgia ratepayers would have. Because it is very hard for, as we all know, people to be informed about all of these things, but also to read through all the briefs, to get discovery rights, to know how to navigate just the whole entire process, and also be representing themselves to the PSC and know what questions to ask and how to get what we would consider fairness out of the process. And so a Consumer Utility Council once existed. It existed until 2008. And at that time, Sonny Perdue abolished the Consumer Utility Council due to budget cuts. He abolished the entire office. But we did have one, and we are now one of only four states in the entire United States who doesn't have one. So these exist all across the United States. A lot of the issues and tensions that exist now may not happen if we have a Consumer Utility Council and someone to advocate for consumers and small businesses.
Wow. So are there any other pieces of legislation, maybe related to environmental justice, that people should be looking out for?
We had a great piece of legislation by Representative Marvin Lim, HB 614, that did cross over that we're going to keep our eyes on. And this is about utilities not being cut off for people who can't afford it. And so this is something that we're going to be watching and hopefully pushing forward, look for action alerts on this, because it's going to be up in committee. We're hoping for a hearing and a vote on this. And that would be a terrific bill, just a common sense measure to put in place to give people some relief, especially in hard times.
So now I know you have to get back to the Gold Dome and doing the things. If someone listening to this wants to take action and know what they can do to make their voice heard, what could you tell them?
We have an action alert page that spells out our action alerts and how you can take action, who to call. You can customize these if you need to, but it really does take care of all the heavy lifting and help you do this and kind of sets a model for you. In addition, we work with a lot of great partners who do the same thing. Georgia Watch, Science for Georgia, Georgia Wand, and the Sierra Club, to name a few. And we all work together in coalition. So you can take one action, but you can take action within the coalition too, to kind of magnify your power and your voice. And I would encourage all of our listeners to do so, because, you know, this is what the legislature is supposed to do. As I said, it's not just the intent. It is, you know, their sole purpose is to legislate. And so it's really our job to let them know what our intent is for them to legislate. And those action alerts are a terrific way to do that.
And also want to add, you don't need an excuse to come visit your legislator. You are a voter. And you can come up to the Gold Dome anytime. What do they call it? The People's House?
It's the People's House.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, that's a two-way street, right? To your point. And when they do something, I'm going to add the second part here. When they do something, it's also great to let them know a thank you, right? Thank you for voting on that. I appreciate your vote. That's the other part of it, because they They don't hear that very often. It is a hard job. They get a lot of bills, and to become knowledgeable on all the things, that's a really big burden. So it's good to hear from the people in your district and around the state. So I think that's they do like to hear from the people.
Thank you so much, Connie. We know you have to get back to it. We are about 2 weeks-ish from the end of session. And so we are going to have you back on to talk about this in a couple of weeks and see where things are.
See how much more tired I look? Terrific. Good.
Thank you so much. Thank you to our listeners, and we'll see you next time.
Quick reality check. If your skills aren't growing, your career isn't either. With Codecademy, you learn the technical skills companies are hiring for right now across AI, coding, data science, and cybersecurity. And you don't just sit back and watch videos. You write real code, solve real problems, and build projects all directly in your browser. No experience needed, no expensive software, just structured hands-on learning designed to take you from beginner to confidently job-ready step by step. Whether you're aiming for a promotion, pivoting careers, or leveling up your technical edge, this is how you move forward. To get you started, for a limited time, you can get 50% off your Codecademy membership through March 25th. Don't wait to catch up. Go to Codecademy.com and start building the skills you actually need.